So good to be with you tonight. Turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. We're going to read one verse, verse 30. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 30. I'd like to say something to you, you that are parents of kids in the Christian school. I've had a privilege of being a part of the Christian school movement since about 1978. That's a long time. I was four when I got started, and but we've been involved in the Christian school movement for a long time. I've had the privilege of speaking all over the country at Christian school rallies, and just about this church. Sometimes that you as parents, I can say this. I'm outside. You can get mad at me, and it really don't matter a whole lot. Sometimes you send your kids here, and you know, and they send you a bill, and you're saying, boy, they're making money down there. Don't ever let anybody tell you that. They raise money. They have fundraisers. And the only reason they do that is so that your child can have a Christian education. And you ought to be thankful for a church that has a heart for your kids. And you ought to really be grateful for that. Because it is a privilege, by the way. It's not a right. It's a privilege. And I'm just glad that you're here tonight. Appreciate everyone being in the service. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 30. Was there anything else you want me to say, Scott, before? Okay. Therefore, he said unto his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servant set the field on fire. Now I want you to close your Bibles and say, listen to the story. Absalom had been banished because of his disobedience from his father. And Absalom had come around in his thinking he wanted to have an audience with David, the king, his father. And in order to do that, he had to talk to him. He had to see him face to face. The king had to offer his hand. And there's a whole lot of messages in here I won't be able to get to tonight. But the king had to reach out his hand and say, okay, let's talk. Well, he kept sending his servants over there to David. David, please, would you talk to Absalom? And they kept going there and knocking on the door, and they kept trying to get his attention, but they could never do it. And finally, in our text here, see, he was wanting Joab to go and get him an audience. That's all he wanted. He just wanted an audience with the king. And he said, see, Joab's field is near. Finally, after all the knocking, after all the pleading, finally, one day, he said, you see, Joab's field is near mine. He hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. He said, that'll get his attention. That will get his attention. Because, see, that field was precious to him. He had time invested in that field. He had money invested in that field. He said, go set that which is precious to him on fire, and if you'll do that, then you'll finally have his attention. He was simply trying to get his attention. Hebrews 2:1 says, we ought therefore to give the more earnest heed. Why? Because God's trying to get our attention. I want everybody in this building to know that ever since you have been alive, God has been trying to get your attention. Ever since you have come into this world, God has been trying to get your attention. He sent messengers here in our text. He knocked and knocked, but to no avail. Finally, he had to take more drastic measures to get him to wake up, to get him to open the door, to get him to give him an audience, to have a hearing. Let me ask you tonight, before I even start, what's it going to take to get your attention? Man, I don't know who I'm talking to. See, the privilege of coming in, I don't know you people. I don't know nothing about you. So I can't be preaching to you, can I? But I believe in this building right now, there's some people sitting right here. God has been trying to get your attention. God's been using some things to try to get your attention, but to no avail up to this point. What's it going to take? What's it going to take? All throughout your life, God has been trying to get your attention. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes. The title of my message is When God Sets Your Barley Fields on Fire. When God sets your barley fields on fire. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, I pray tonight that you'll help me. I pray, dear God, that you'll anoint me. I pray, dear God, that you'll use me for your glory. I pray, God, this one thing that you'll do tonight. I pray that while I talk to these judgment-bound people on the outside, I pray that you'll have the Holy Ghost of God talking to us on the inside. And God, if that'll happen, if that one thing will occur tonight, then something's getting ready to happen in this service. Scott's been using the phrase, Lord, that something great, something drastic, something, Lord, miraculous, something awesome is going to happen. God, we're asking for you to do that tonight. And I pray, dear God, in Jesus' name, that unction will flow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to mention to you some ways that God gets our attention. Real simple message tonight. First of all, I believe God gets our attention. He's been trying to get our attention. The first way is through the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. Isn't that simple? You say, well, what do you mean by that? I'm telling you that somebody touched heaven for this old boy. I'm glad that years ago when I was lost in my sin, when I was a drunk and a dope head and a thug, that somebody loved me enough to get on their knees before a holy God and say, God, won't you please save Curtis Linton? I'm glad that somebody touched heaven for me, aren't you? Somebody prayed. And you know what the Word of God tells us? When people of God pray, something happened because those prayers ascend to the very throne room of God. Did you know that the prayers of the saints are so precious to God that He keeps them in vials in heaven? And you realize the prayers that my grandma prayed for me 60 years ago are still going up before God right now on my behalf. Glory! God uses the prayers of the saints to get our attention. And I want to say to you tonight, you people that I don't know, somebody has been praying for you. How do I know that? Because this church here has been praying for 3 weeks. They've been in their homes praying. They've been in an altar praying. They've been in rooms praying. They've been out praying. Even in the deer woods, they've been praying and been asking God to do something in this revival because God knew who was going to be here and God knew what you needed. And God has been knocking on your door for a long time, some of you. Some of you got some deep-seated problems. Your marriage is falling apart. You've got some addictions in your life that's just about to take you down. But I thank God somebody has been praying for you. God uses the prayers of the saints to get our attention. Prayer works. I'm glad I had a mama that prayed for me. I'm glad I had a little country church in that community that prayed for me. I'm glad one time I was out in my barn back when I was in college. And I had a few cows. I've always kept a few cows. And I was at Eastern Oklahoma State University, and I'd come in, and I was out in the barn feeding the cows. Lost as a goose. Didn't know Jesus as my Savior, was rebellious, and, I mean, had been in a lot of trouble in a lot of ways. We're not going to go into all that tonight. Bad shape. But I was in that barn and feeding the cows, putting some hay over in the manger, you know, had a pitchfork and was throwing the hay over there to feed those few cows that I had, was fattening out. And well, I noticed this lady that was there in the community. She's one of those little old ladies that wore a hairpin and a bun. Y'all remember those? Wore a hairpin and a bun, always dressed real conservative, you know. And I mean, just one of those old godly saints. And I saw her out of the corner of my eye, and her lot was right next to ours in that little old community. And she came out there to buy her chicken house. By the way, I realize where I'm at. I'm in North Carolina, and I have to explain things. But a chicken house, that's where chickens live. In the Greek, that means where the chickens live. But y'all don't get brilliance like this just all the time. I understand that. Her name is Clara Holly. She was a cafeteria cook down at the little old school that had 40 students, first grade through eighth grade. You know, little old four-room, little, didn't have no indoor plumbing where I was raised, you know, even in the house. And you know what, that's hard for you to believe. I know some of y'all sitting saying, you know what, a man that young, that's really hard to believe that he has stories like that. But anyway, Clara went out by her chicken house. She went out, and right beside her chicken house, she had this five-gallon bucket that's rusted out. Been sitting there a long time. But that's where Clara Holly prayed and asked God to do things for her. And I saw her, she went and got on her knees by that little old five-gallon bucket, and she started praying. And she's one of those old-time prayers. Now, by the way, she wasn't a Pentecostal, or, you know, there wasn't no such thing as a charismatic back in those days. I mean, she just one of them old-time prayers that just prayed until the butter come. I mean, she just got after it. I mean, it's kind of like she's shifting gears in an old truck when she's praying. She'd put her down in Granny, and she'd say, oh, God, and she'd talk to God for a little bit that way. And then here in a minute, she'd pull her up in second gear, and all of a sudden, she'd kind of get up, and she'd start to crying a little bit and snotting around a little bit, and God would begin to bless her heart, and then she'd pull her down in third, and she'd really start getting a hold of God, and before long, she's up there praising God and hating hallelujah and praying the glory down. And better start listening at her over there. She's over there. I mean, she's up. She's all the way in overdrive by now. She's over there praying to God. And she says, oh, God. Oh, God. She said, please save my boy. Oh, God, Wendell's lost. He's going to go to hell. Oh, God, please save him. And she prayed and prayed and prayed for Wendell. And I remember thinking, I stopped my hay in there for a minute. And I said, you know what? That's a good thing, because Wendell needs something. I mean, Wendell's sorrier than I am. That's saying something. I said, you know what? Wendell needs somebody to pray for him, you know. But then about that time, she pulled it in a gear that I didn't even know there was. And she said, oh, God, that old Linton boy over there, he's lost. Oh, God, he's an embarrassment to his mama and his daddy. He's an embarrassment to this whole community. Oh, God, she said, save his wretched, stinking soul. Oh, God, please don't let him sleep at night. Take away his appetite so he can't even eat. Oh, God, make him so miserable that he can't stand another day without getting right with God. And I guarantee you, when that old lady was praying in that barn for me, that prayer touched the very throne of God, and God turned around and sent the Holy Ghost down in that barn. And all of a sudden, it wasn't me by myself in that barn no more, because somebody was touching heaven for me. And I got out of there quick. I felt the hair stand up on the back of my neck. I said, I got to go. Prayer. God's been using the prayers of the saints to get your attention. You hear me? Ravenhill said, the church is dying on her feet because she's not living on her knees. Acts chapter 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The key word there is abide. God uses prayers of the saints to get your attention. He keeps those vials in heaven. Somebody has been praying for you. You hear me? You with me so far? Isn't this simple? God uses the prayers of the saints to get your attention. Number two. I'm getting excited, man. I'm already on point two. I've only got 23 points tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter, yeah, he's over there saying, preacher, brother, you don't know these people. Yeah, I was getting some bad looks last night. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. I've got my next point here. The second point, the way God uses gets our attention, is God uses preaching to get our attention. God uses prayer. God uses preaching. See, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's God's plan. That's God's way. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says, how should they call on him whom they have not believed? How should they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? A preacher. Folks, God uses preaching to get our attention. If you've got somebody that's a preacher in your life, I'm talking about somebody that's a preacher. See, this is Bible words here I'm using tonight. See, I'm not, when they lay my body down, they're not going to remember me as Dr. Linton, even though I've got a couple, three of those. They're not going to remember me as a clergy. They're not even going to remember me as a minister. I want to be remembered as a preacher. You've got to kind of growl when you say that. A preacher. Preaching means to proclaim urgently. Let me tell you something. I remember Andrew Holders, and I was just a little old kid. He was an old boy. He couldn't even read it and write his own name. Andrew was a red-faced old man. I'm telling you, he couldn't even read and write his own name. And he'd get up behind what they used to call the sacred desk. And he'd take a Bible up there. I don't know why he took a Bible, because he couldn't read. But he'd get up there, and he'd open the Bible. He'd say, "All right, read, Susie." Susie's his wife. She sat right there on the front. She sat right there on the front pew. She weighed about 400. What's not funny? Susie'd stand up. It didn't matter what she read. I mean, she may have read out of the book of Malachi. She may have been reading, I mean, she may have read in Revelation about the great heart of the Revelation. I mean, it didn't matter where she read. Because Andrew only had two sermons. The first sermon he preached, I mean, she may read a whole chapter about tithing. And Andrew's going to preach on heaven. And I remember that old man would stand there, and he'd talk about heaven. He'd say, "The streets are made out of gold, the walls are made out of jasper, the gates made out of a giant pearl." And then I remember he'd use this phrase. I remember this from 50-some years ago. He'd say, "And crystalline rivers flow peaceably through verdant valleys." Guy couldn't even read. Talking like that. He'd pray, and he'd take his shoes off sometimes, get up here, and I'd illustrate how he'd do it, but I'm too fat to get back up. He'd, well, that's not funny either. Now listen, here, we got to get something settled here. Y'all laugh when I say something funny. You don't laugh and make fun of people because they're fat, you know. But listen to me. He'd get up there and dip his feet down the river, the water of life. Talk about picking fruit off of those trees that are bearing fruit all year long. I mean, he made you want to go there. He's a preacher. But he also had a second sermon. He preached on how beautiful heaven must be, but then he talked about how hot hell is. Ooh. I mean, I was lost. I didn't know Jesus. I mean, that old man, all of a sudden, he'd come down the aisle, his face would get red, his eyes would bulge out, veins popping out of his neck. He'd say, "There's a place called hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." He'd start walking down that aisle, he'd point his finger at you, and his finger would get about that long, it seemed like. "You don't want to go to hell, boy. You don't want to go to hell." And he'd talk about the horrors and oh, how awful hell is. He was a preacher. He was a preacher. God uses preaching to get our attention. I still remember those things. I mean, 45 years later, I still remember it. I'd be sitting in a bar somewhere remembering about Andrew preaching about hell. There's something about a holy man taking a holy book behind a holy stand, preaching a holy word. The best friend you've got in New Bern, North Carolina, is a preacher. A preacher that'll tell you the truth. The best friend you've got is a preacher. I want to be remembered as a preacher. Okay. God uses prayers of the saints. God uses preaching. By the way, I want to say something to you before I go any further. We're living in a generation where people don't want preaching. That's a fact. I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a whole lot bigger city than this. People don't want preaching no more. They want somebody to get up here and talk to them, a little ditty, and make them feel good. Talk to you about 15 minutes, let you go back and get you a Starbucks, go to the house unaffected, your life not, you know, nothing be different. But if I had listen to me. So you don't like snakes, do you, Brother Scott? If there was a snake right underneath that, if by some chance some of the guys had went out today and had got a snake and put it in a little purple and green box right there underneath your pew right there. Yeah, purple and green. If they did that, and you got your son sitting right there, it's a poison snake. I know y'all been watching Ernest too. Okay. Snake man, bite you one day, you big strapping young man. Next minute, rock of ages. Okay. Cleft for me. Anyway. There's a snake right there. Now listen, Brother Scott, I got 3 doctor's degrees. You can tell it too, can't you? Well, Scott, you missed Mr. Coghill. Excuse me, sir. There is a long cylindrical object that's approaching your offspring. I mean, is that what you want me to do? I mean, he's curled up. He's getting ready to bite your boy. There really is a snake there. Would you want me to do that, or would you want me to say, "Hey, get away from there! There's a snake there! Get out of here!" Would you want me to get urgent about it? God uses preaching. He's looking. He's nervous. God uses preaching to get your attention. I got to hurry. Now, number 3. Okay, we got the praying done. That's already been done tonight. We're getting the preaching done. God trying to get your attention. Put on a school night to get you here so somebody can preach to you. You think we got you here so we could look at you? Next of all, God uses the presence and power of the blessed Holy Spirit to get our attention. John 6:44 says, "No man come to the Father which has sent me." He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day." Folks, you realize you don't get saved when you want to get saved. You get saved when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart. This cheap, easy believism that's sweeping our nation, I believe, is sending people to a place that we just talked about. There's people in this building who don't know Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God here in a few minutes is going to begin. He's already probably begun to speak to your heart. Praying's been done. Preaching's been done. And now God sends the blessed Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and draw you to Him. See, I remember when I was lost. I remember sometimes just feeling guilty. You know why I felt guilty? Anybody want to venture a reason why that I felt guilty? Because I was guilty. That's why I felt guilty. I remember feeling out of place when Mama or Grandma had talked me into going to church on Easter or something, maybe on one of their birthdays or something. I'd go to church, and man, them old preachers would preach, and the people that sang them old songs of Zion. And I remember feeling out of place. I remember having sweaty hands. I remember there being a conviction, a drawing, a pulling. I was uncomfortable. I remember a voice speaking to me while they're praying or singing, a preacher preaching a message, someone talking to me on the inside. And by the way, His presence is here tonight. Knocking, speaking, pleading. God uses the presence of the Holy Spirit to get our attention. Well, God also uses people to get our attention. God has and always will use people to get your attention. Someone invited you here to this service tonight. God is just trying to get to you. God's just trying to get your attention because God does not want anybody in this building to die in your sins. Okay, isn't this good so far? This is okay message so far, right? Okay. But God knocks, praying, preaching, presence and pleading, power of the Holy Spirit. And you say, I'm not listening. I'm going to do what I want to do. There's some lady in this church been praying that your husband would get off internet pornography. There's some of you right now got marriage trouble that you honestly don't know if a year from now if you're going to be together. There's some of you that have an extramarital affairs at the workplace. There's some of you watching filth on television, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. God's been trying to get your attention. God don't want you to die in your sins. He's just trying to get your attention. But then finally, he knocks. He knocks. He knocks some more. And finally, one day, he says, we're going to have to set the barley field on fire. I want you to listen to me. When God sets your barley fields on fire, something precious, something dear to you, something you've invested time, money, effort, yourself into. That's what the barley field was in our passage. His field is near mine. He loves that field. I want everybody to look at here. Look at me right now. Look at me very closely. And I know it's hard. Everyone here has a soft spot. God knows what it is. Don't make him prove it. I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to somebody's heart just now because God knows what your soft spot is, Daddy. God knows what your soft spot is, Mama, Grandma, Grandpa. God knows what your soft spot is. Everybody's got one. You say, well, preacher, you're telling me that God causes harm? Folks, I'm not going to debate that with you. I'm just going to say that I know for a fact that God takes his restraint away. God sometimes takes his protective hand away. Because you know what? If God didn't have his protective hand upon you, then all humanity would die because the Bible says the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Did you know what? The devil in hell hates your ever-loving guts. Even if you're not a Christian, you know why he hates you? Because you're made after the similitude of God. He hates you. He would destroy your life, your soul, your marriage, your home. He would destroy you. The only thing keeping that from happening right now is the almighty, merciful hand of God. But he's been trying to get your attention. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. But he's been trying to get your attention, sir. He's been trying to get your attention. You're looking at a guy that knows. You see all these scars on my face right here? God had to do some drastic things to get this old boy's attention. God will set your barley fields on fire. I'm almost done. You listen to me. It could be a death. We live in a sin-cursed world. Y'all all know that, don't you? We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a ground that's been cursed ever since Genesis chapter 3. It's been cursed. It may be a death. It may be a sickness. It may be a pain in the chest. It may be the screech of tires in the middle of the night. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 11. If you guys have a Bible up there on your computer, I want you to throw Proverbs chapter 17, verse 11 up on the screen. I want everybody to see. Proverbs 17, 11. And here's what it says. This is not one of these verses that you're going to see on most of the television shows that have churches on. They don't put these kind of verses up there because they don't have nothing to do with money. Don't have nothing to do with making you feel good. Let me tell you something, my friend. There's times when you don't need to feel good. There's times you need to be shook up. There's times that you need to be uncomfortable. And I'm telling you, I believe God's going to do that for somebody here in just a few minutes. The Bible says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. That's some of you right here in this building. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent, shall be dispatched against them. He may be dispatching this messenger tonight. I went down to Spartanburg, South Carolina, held a meeting there for many years. Went for year after year after year, this same church, Spartanburg, South Carolina. I knew the people down there and had got acquainted, kind of like I've been getting acquainted with some of y'all this week, and we become friends. It was just something that every September I went down to that church and held a revival. There was this couple that sat right here where these kids are sitting, and they'd got saved in the first revival that I held there. A whole family of them got saved. But somewhere along the way, they had drifted away from God. I went 1, 2, 3 revivals. They still sitting there saying amen. And we were on a first name basis, and it was just good times. But I went there about the 4th year and to hold a revival at that church. And I remember as I was leaving, I said, preacher, where's that couple? Where's that couple? And I described who that couple was. And he said, well, preacher, he said, last year they kind of let something happen. You know, they got miffed. Got a little something happened in the church. Y'all know how some dumb things like that happen sometimes, don't you? It ain't ever worth a hill of beans. They got miffed. Somebody in the church, somebody looked at them crossways or something, and anyway, they said they got out of church. And they started going down to the bar down there. And he told me where the bar was, about 3/4 mile from the church. Started taking their boys to the bar instead of the church. Well, the preacher wanted to tell me that one day that one of that lady's boys got shot in that bar. And the policeman, the cruel messenger, if you please, got dispatched. And his responsibility was to go and knock on that door. And that mother came to the door and says, what do you want? He said, I've come to you to tell you something. He said, you know the bar down here where you and your son and your husband go? Your son got shot at that bar a while ago and he's dead. The woman went into a rage. Who did it? Who did it? Who did it? I'll kill him! I'll kill him! Who did it? Who did it? And the messenger said, your other son killed him. You know what that lady did? She fell on her knees on the porch. And she started screaming, Barley Fields! Oh my God! Barley Fields! Barley Fields. I was preaching in Virginia Beach, Virginia at Gateway Church. Had a big day. The balcony was full. The buildings were full. Big day that day. And I preached a message similar to this about how sometimes God has to get our attention. I used the term, when God sets your barley fields on fire, many times during that sermon. There's a man sitting up in the back balcony, way up there in the corner, and I give the invitation. I said, won't you come to know Jesus? Then I said, somebody here not saved? Would you like to know Jesus, but you're not saved? He raised his hand. There's people getting saved. We was in the 7th, 8th verse, and the altars are full all the way back up to the back of the building. People are getting saved all over the building. People coming to know Christ. People rededicating their lives. It was a glorious service. But that man, never forget that man. He's had 2 boys standing there beside him. I said, won't you come give your heart to Jesus? Why don't you come get right with God? Why don't you come? Hey, why don't you come? The preaching's been done. The praying's been done. Hey, why don't you come before God has to set your barley fields on fire? And I remember he flipped me off. And he walked out that back balcony door. He just did that as he left. Did that. Tuesday that same week, there was a call coming at the church office. Carl Sexton was the youth pastor at that time at the Gateway Church. And they went to that man's house. We went over to that man's house. Never will forget. I remember he had white and black tile there in his entryway. Somebody had been jogging, and they was jogging along, and they saw a little hand sticking up out out of a little shallow grave over there in the park. And his two boys had left for school that morning, and on their way to school, somebody had killed those two little boys. Listen to me very closely. Before you start judging, before you start running your mouth, don't you hear me? Did God kill those kids? No. Something else I want to tell you about this story. Those two boys had got saved in children's church a month before off the bus route. Those two little boys had been baptized and had made profession of faith, and those little boys were in heaven. But the daddy wasn't. And I remember as we went to that man's house, I went with Mr. Sexton. We went in that door, we opened the door, and the police were there, and I was there, standing there, when they told the man what had happened. And the man fell on the floor in that white and black tile, and he began to scream, "Barley Fields, Barley Fields, oh my God, Barley Fields, Barley Fields, oh my God." I was able to lead him to Jesus. He accepted Christ, he got saved. That's a good thing, but you say, "Preacher, I just don't like..." Have you ever read the Old Testament where that God, even his own people, that at sundry times God would have to get their attention? Because they wouldn't listen. He sent judges, they wouldn't listen. He sent prophets, they wouldn't listen. So sometimes God would use another nation. That may be what's going to happen to America. It was a pagan nation that God used. Back me up here, Bruce Scott. I mean, who was it? The Bible says that God used the king of Persia. God used him to try to get Judah's attention. I don't know what it's going to take for America to wake up. But all of America is not here tonight, but you are. Everybody here has got a soft spot. I don't have time to tell. I could go on and on and on and on tonight. One man said, "Preacher, I'm saved now." I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, "I'm saved now. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to see my wife." He said, "But you know, sometimes, preacher, late at night, I can still hear the crackling of the barley." When God sets your barley fields on fire. What time is it? It does matter. It's 8:05, Newber, North Carolina. What's it going to take to get your attention? I don't have time to talk to you tonight about my last point at length. I may do it one other night about how God changed my life as a Christian, as a pastor, as a daddy, as a husband. He used my granddaughter to do that. I've always been a hard man, always, even as a pastor, I'd always been real hard and hardly ever shed any tear. Preached my own daddy's funeral, never shed a tear. My sisters and brother crying, I say, "Hey, we're children of God. Quit you bawling. Daddy's in heaven. Ain't no reason to cry." That's just dumb. Dumb. God used my little granddaughter to change my worldview about God. My last point is God uses... See, I'm going to end this on a positive note. God uses his provision to get our attention. See, Romans 2:4 says, "Or despise us out of the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Folks, listen to me. I'm not going to go to hell. Look at me. I'm not going to go to hell. That got took care of in a road ditch beside the road. April the 10th, 1974, I got down in a ditch beside the road. I went down a drunk and a dopehead and a thug, and I came out a new creature in Christ Jesus. I mean, my wife, hey, my kids don't have to have a drunk for a daddy. My kids don't have to see the violence. My kids don't have to see the crime and all the stuff because of what Jesus did in my heart that day on April the 10th, 1974. I'm a new creature in Christ. But you know what? Even as a new creature in Christ, there's times that God needs to get my attention. You know how he does that? Because he's been so good to me. Folks, and he's been so good to you. Did you know what? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And that's what I'm praying is going to happen right now. See, Brother Scott, I don't fear the flames of hell because I'm not going there. But you know what? Sometimes when I get out of fellowship, sometimes when the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. By the way, y'all do know all sin falls on one of those three, don't you? When one of these things begins to creep again in my life, you know what? It's God's goodness, his provision, how he's been so good to me, how he's blessed me and my family, how he's took care of me, how he's provided for my needs, how he's touched us when we're sick, how he's been there with us in times of death and despondency and pain, how God has always been good. He's a good God. He's good all the time. And that leads me to repentance. But I want to ask you tonight, what's it going to take to get your attention? Everybody here has got a soft spot. Go ahead. Everybody here, even you, everybody here has got a soft spot. God knows where it is. You hear me? God knows where it is. Don't make him prove it. I want every head to bow, every eye to close. I don't want anybody looking around. I want you to stay in here if you can at all. I want you to stay here for the next few minutes. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. I believe there's some people that's walked in this building tonight that in your heart of hearts, you know you're not where you ought to be with God. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you got saved one day, but you backslid. You're out of fellowship with God tonight. You know it and God knows it. There's some in this building tonight that are struggling with some things in your marriage, in your home. There's some of you having deep relationship problems. There's some of you struggling with addictions. The devil's got his hooks in you. And all God wants to do is get your attention. He's been knocking. The praying's been done. The preaching's been done. The presence of the Holy Spirit is here. But now we've come to the time where God, you know what? I hate to preach this message. I only do it when God leads my heart anymore. Because it breaks my heart when the pastor calls me a month down the road and say, preach, you remember? And you preach that message and there was a certain person there and then he begins to tell me the story. And I've got folders full of stories. I don't want you to be one of those statistics. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed while nobody's looking around, I want to ask you, has God been speaking to your heart? Is God speaking to your heart? Has God been speaking to your heart tonight? If you're here tonight and you're not right with God, you know you're not right with God, but you need to get right with God, and you know it. Would you slip your hand up, slip it right back down, say, preacher, pray for me. You don't have to say nothing. Just slip your hand up, slip it right back down. I won't come back and embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. God bless you and you and you and you and you. Come on, just slip your hand up. I'm not going to come back there. Don't worry. Somebody else, God bless you and you. Come on, slip your hand up, preacher. I know I'm not where I ought to be with God. God bless you and you. Somebody else, just slip your hand up right back down. And you, all over the building. Somebody else, just slip your hand up. Preacher, I know right from wrong. There was a day I accepted Christ as my Savior. But you know what, preacher? I hadn't been living for God. I hadn't been living for God. I know right from wrong, but I hadn't been living for Jesus. I've got things in my life that I know are damaging to me and to my house, my family, to my eternal soul. Preacher, I've got some things going on in my life that are unhealthy. I want to ask you, preacher, please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. I see you. God bless you and you. Somebody else, God bless you and you. Somebody else, come on, slip your hand up. God's speaking to your heart. God's knocking. Do you hear me? Have you not been listening? God's speaking right now. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you saying, that's you. Raise your hand. That's you. Raise your hand. God's speaking to your heart. Raise your hand. Just acknowledge it. Just acknowledge it. I'm needy. I'm needy, preacher. I need something in my life that I don't have. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Would you? Just slip it up right back down. There may even be some church people here. You hadn't been doing right, hadn't been living right, hadn't been committed like you ought. God's speaking to you, and I want to ask you to come tonight. But I'm going to pray right now. We're going to ask God to move. Dear God of heaven, you see the people here. You know where they are. You know what's going on in their life right now. Lord, I preach as simple a message as I know how to preach. Lord, the truth matter is you've been trying to get our attention. You have been trying to get our attention. And I believe, God, there's some church people right now, some saved people you're speaking to too. You've been trying to get their attention about some things in their life. Nobody knows about it. It's getting ready to come out. I feel impressed, God. I feel like you spoke to my heart to say that. God, if they don't get down here, it's getting ready to come out. It's getting ready to come out. In Jesus' name, I pray you'll speak to all the people that you're dealing with right now. In Jesus' name. I want to stand to your feet. I want you to stand to your feet with your head still bowed, your eyes still closed. And I want to ask every one of you that raised your hand, you here in this section, you here, you in the balcony, I want you to start making your way. Don't wait, don't tarry. I want you to come right now and let us pray with you. Right now, just step out of your seat as we sing.
Just as
come on, step out. You here, God's speaking to your heart. Come on right now, God's dealing with you.
One plea.
Don't wait.
But that thy blood was
Daddy,
shed
God speaking to your heart. You got precious commodity there. You better get down here before God sets your body field on fire. Why don't you step out right now? Just step out. God's dealing with your heart. God's dealing with your heart. Just come right now. Right now, would you come? Hurry, others, keep coming. Come on, that's right, keep coming. Come on, step out. Hurry. Hurry, altar workers, we need some down here at the front.
I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty.
How about you?
To be filled.
How about you?
I come guilty.
Step out right now. We'll wait.
By the blood.
That's what services like this are all about.
The Lamb.
Come on, just make your way here.
I'm welcome.
Come on, just make your way here. God wants to change your life forever. God wants to give you a new life in Christ Jesus. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to have a new life in Christ Jesus. What is it going to take to get your attention? What's it going to take to get your attention? Is God going to have to set your body field on fire? Is God going to have to shake you up? Is God going to have to cause drastic measures? He's pleaded and he's knocked, and yet you still won't do it. You still won't come. Why don't you step out right now? Why don't you step out? Just step out. God's dealing with your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to have to close the invitation here in a minute. You know what? If I could, I'd come back here and get you. If I could, if that's the way God had it, I'm a pretty good old boy, pretty good sized boy. I'd come back here and I'd get a ball bat if I had to and drag you down here. I can't do that. I can't do that. All I can do is tell you that there's Jesus that loves you. He wants what's best for you. That's why he knocks all those times. Do you hear me? That's why he knocks. That's why he's so patient. His mercy endureth for all generations. He's been knocking on some of your hearts a long time. And he's knocking real hard tonight. He's knocking real hard tonight. And there's some more of you back here. We're only going to have one more verse. But this verse is for you. Daddy, you look at me back there. You know who you are. You know who I'm talking to. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. He's all over you. You need to get out here and get your heart right with God tonight. You need to get out here and get saved. You need to come down here and rededicate your life to God. You need to come down here and confess your sin. I'm going to say one more thing before he sings. If you'll come down here, listen to me very closely. If you try to cover up your sin, God will uncover it. I'm telling you, He's getting ready to uncover it. But if you'll come to this altar and uncover your sin before God, just admit it, then God will cover it up by His blood. He'll cover it up. You can be cleansed, you can be forgiven. Somebody ought to take Him up on that deal. Somebody ought to take Him up on that deal. And the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart tonight, and you're still not down here. God's speaking to you. We're going to have one more verse. One more verse. Sing it. I want to ask you right now on this last verse. Come on. Come on. Why don't you step out right now? God's speaking to you, Daddy. God's speaking to you. He's speaking to you back over here. He's speaking to you up here. God's speaking to you. This last verse for you. Why don't you step out of your seat right now? Why don't you step out of joy in these many that are here that have already called on Him? Oh, just step out right now. Let Jesus save you. Let Jesus help you. Let Jesus do a work in your heart. Let Him change you. Let Him fill you.
I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as these are finishing. Piano's playing softly and slowly. The Holy Spirit's working deeply. Answer in your own mind, what is it going to take for me to come back to God? What is it going to take? Some of you have kids in our school that pray for you. They lift your name up. Come back to God. He's ready. He's waiting. Father, thank You that we can come to You just as we are. Thank You for the speaking of Your Spirit and for the man of God who delivered it with passion. Help us now. God, help us to come to You with those that You dealt with, Lord. I pray You'll never give them another chance. I pray they'll turn before it's everlasting too late. Thank You for moving in our midst tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You understand tonight there's a God in heaven that loves you. Amen. And all He wants to do is to live through you. Don't turn Him away. Are you glad you came to God's house tonight? Amen. And we're glad you came. New Bern Christian Academy family, you are our family. Whether you go to our church or not, you're our family. I hope you want to be. Sorry if you don't. You're stuck. Those that came from other churches tonight, thank you for being here. And you've honored us tonight with your presence. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we'd love to have you back. Dr. Linton will be speaking again. We'll be singing again. God will be moving again. And we want to invite you to come back and join us. Amen. I want you to look right up here. for the most part, and I see a couple of them scattered around somewhere, but for the most part, these are our basketball players and our cheerleaders, yes, and that's all we got. Some of them are scattered up here, and several of them scattered around. I challenge my team tonight to come to church with me, and tomorrow night, and Wednesday night. I didn't promise them less sprints, but I might not make them run as much tomorrow. But I want to tell you kids, I'm proud of you. I want to tell all you kids that sing tonight, I'm proud of you. All you parents, thank you for letting us be a part of your life through our school. And we look forward to what God is doing and what He's going to do tomorrow in our hearts. Amen? Amen. Brother Jeff, pastors at Sherwood Forest Free Will Baptist Church here in town, it's a joy to have you in our service. We appreciate you and your folks. I'm asking him if he would dismiss us in prayer tonight.